Our story continues this week from last week with the parable of the sower. And if you were here last Sunday, you may remember that question that I asked you about if you were going to sow lavishly, sow seeds as God invited us to do. If you were willing to put in the effort to sow the seeds, even if they potentially fell on bad soil. This week, we are going to still be looking at a field, and we're still going to be talking about a sower, but rather than focusing on the different kinds of soils that the seeds may land on, we're going to be talking about the different kinds of seed that fall into the field. So, going to the beginning of our parable, we have Jesus who is still on a boat, and he's talking to the disciples and the crowd, and he's telling them different parables and stories, and he's trying to paint a picture of the kingdom of God to his eager audience. He starts the parable with saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seeds in a field." The text continues with saying, "Unfortunately, in the night, an enemy has come and sowed weeds in that same field." For those of you who garden, you know how frustrating it can be to weed sometimes or to find weeds in your garden, especially if you've spent hours trying to pull those weeds out. Well, in this story, they're not only just finding seeds, but they're recognizing that an enemy has come in and intentionally put weeds into their garden. So that would be like if one of your enemies came and put in a whole bunch of buckthorn into your rose garden. And for those of you who live in the Cedar Community area, I know there's a whole lot of buckthorn, and that's not fun. So the servant comes in the parable and says, "We found all of these weeds in your field. Do you want us to pull them out?" And the master has quite an interesting response, or at least I think so, because he says, "No, don't pull the weeds out, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot them along with the wheat." And I know I've done weeding in the past, and you have to be careful about pulling the weeds out because you don't want to pull the plants out with them unless you're trying to do some thinning of your plants. But there's a special process of pulling out weeds. Here the master is not only saying you shouldn't pull out the weeds, but he's saying, "I want you to let them grow with the plants until the end of the harvest." So I find that to be quite interesting, not just because of what it requires as far as gardening, but the explanation that Jesus gives in the second half of our text for today. Jesus is very blunt about the explanation of what this text means. He says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels." So he's being very blunt about what the answers are. And if we follow that, it's pretty cut and dry, black and white. This is what it's going to be. But based on some of the commentaries that I've read this past week, it encourages us to look deeper than that. It invites us to look at this story from a different perspective, and so that's what we're going to do today. I want to focus today on the field that the seeds are being sown into. How often in our lives do we have good or bad seeds put into our life? Verse 38 reminds us that the field is the world. But what if the seeds are people and events and things that happen in our daily life? I'm hoping that most of you have seen the movie The Shack, and if you haven't, I'm highly encouraging you to see that at some point because it's an absolutely phenomenal movie. It paints a really beautiful picture of the Trinity and our relationship to the Trinity. But my purpose for bringing that up is because the main character, Mackenzie, is dealing with quite a large seed or weed that has been planted in his life. Mackenzie loses his daughter. She is abducted and murdered, and he's invited by the Trinity to go back to the shack where this took place to process these events and hopefully lead him to forgiveness. And so we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit had to say to him while he was in the shack. Oh, shoot. My click. I'm here. The Holy Spirit says to Mackenzie, "This garden is your soul. This mess is you. And together, you and I have been working with a purpose in your heart. And it is this wild and beautiful, perfectly in process thing. To you, it seems like a mess, but I see a perfect pattern emerging and growing and alive, like a living fractal." So how many of you can relate to that? That our souls and our lives can become such a mess with the reality of our life. Yet it's a garden filled with beauty and flowers and sometimes really obnoxious weeds. Yet despite the flowers and the weeds, God sees a perfect pattern emerging and growing in our life. So as we jump back to our text where the servant tells the master that there are weeds growing with the wheat, the question of whether the weeds should be pulled comes up. Willimon says, "It's not up to the servants to solve the problem of the malicious weeds. The harvester will handle that later when the good will be blessed and the bad will be cursed." So thank goodness that that's not our job to be the judge of that. Because verse 30 says, "Let both of them grow together." We need each other to survive. We need the wheat and the weeds to survive. But we also need to be aware of our surroundings, as I talked about last Sunday with the book Spiritual Pathways. We come to recognize the different paths we can take in order to build that relationship with God. And we also learn to respect that others find different ways to become spiritually connected to God. The important thing is that we need to be able to recognize what spiritually fills us. Because we live in a world with different kinds of seeds, both wheat and weeds. We need to be intentional about strengthening our faith and relationship with God, especially because there are days when we can be weeds ourselves. We need to be able to know what fills us spiritually. So going back to the movie The Shack, the garden scene represents our lives. And as Mackenzie enters this garden that represents his life, he is filled with a bunch of different emotions that are chaotic and crazy. I'm going to see if you can possibly try hitting the arrow again to see if it will move on to our... You can bring the lights back up. Thank you. So, as you can see, he enters this garden that represents his life, and he can't seem to look past the mess that is representing his life. And I think that's important for us to recognize, that he can't see past the mess, and that's all he can process. Maybe it's because of the guilt of not being able to save his daughter. Maybe it's the sorrow of the absence of her from her family. Maybe it's worry for what the future holds and feeling like he may not be able to protect his other children. In any case, he can't seem to process his life outside of the mess that represents his garden at this particular time. And if we each have a garden that represents our life, my question to you is, what are the forces in our society today that plant weeds into our life? What events cause us to respond in ways that Mackenzie does? Maybe it's the loss of a job or the death of a loved one, but these things tend to shatter us and make it hard to understand why things like this happen in our life. In the midst of the chaos, it truly is hard to understand why things like this happen in our life. I've had my own personal experiences in a garden where I've felt like the mess that Mackenzie has experienced. And I share this with you today because the reality is that weeds grow everywhere and anywhere, and we can't always control that. But furthermore, because these weeds grow in our life and we can't pull them out, it is our job as a community to grow and learn together until we reach that harvest. So my story that I share with you started my first semester of college, my first semester freshman year. And I entered that garden full of chaos and weeds, feeling like my life was a mess because I was sexually assaulted. I was sexually assaulted by somebody that I had started dating, and I felt like the weeds were choking me and making everything in my life fall apart. Very much like Mackenzie, I felt like the garden was all I could see. I couldn't see anything past those bad weeds that were planted in my life, and it was extremely hard to process. However, with time and the opportunity to process those things, you, like myself, are able to process and learn from those experiences. So the question is, could this be why the master said that the weeds and the wheat need to grow together so we can learn as a community together? We're going to jump back to Mackenzie's story here. And as the movie continues, he spends time with that parent figure. He spends time with the Holy Spirit and the Son. And with his time with them, he is able to grow and heal from the pain that he experienced. And the last thing that he needed to do in order to help heal from that process was that he needed to figuratively bury his daughter. So if we can move to the next video here, I want you to see what that experience was like for him. You can bring the lights up, please. There's so much beauty in that scene. Mackenzie becomes present with the Trinity, and shouldn't that be a reminder for us all that we need to be present with the Trinity, especially when we are trying to heal from those weeds? The thing that is even more wonderful about this scene is that it calls us to be in community with each other. And when we allow the Trinity to work through us, the healing process can start to take place. So in this garden that he once called wild and messy, Mackenzie is eventually able to zoom out and look at the bigger picture. It is still a little wild and crazy, but it also is strangely organized and depicts something more beautiful than he could originally even begin to imagine. So how does that work in our life? As we allow ourselves the time for those same conversations with the Trinity, and the freedom to zoom out from the worry or stress or depression and anxiety, whatever it may be, even if it takes 10, 20, or 30 years from now, the goal is that we might be able to see how that initial weed in our life helps shape the garden that makes our lives beautiful. So as Jesus shares these parables, and then later explains to the disciples in the house, he gives them something to wrestle with. We recognize that there are always hostile powers in the world or weeds that pop up into our lives unexpectedly, and sometimes it can be hard to distinguish between the two. But when the harvest comes, God will be the judge. And in the meantime, what tools do we gather from these parables and the explanations, and how do we allow them to help us in our daily life? For me, it's important to recognize that these weeds that are planted in our lives were not planted by God. The weeds were not planted by God. It wasn't God's intention for these weeds to grow in our garden. However, once they are there, we can't necessarily pull them out because they will potentially harm the wheat that was intentionally planted there. So the harvest isn't something that's going to be coming soon, but it is something that's going to take some time. And this can, in fact, be a good thing because it gives us the time that we need to grow in our faith. Just like Mackenzie needed that time to go back to the shack, we can learn from these experiences and situations and events in our life that we call weeds. Let's not become so quick to point the finger to others or events, because we need to realize that sometimes we can be the weeds, or we can cause the weeds in other people's lives. Thomas Long, one of the theologians that we've all come to love this summer, I think says it best. So if you can move to the next slide. Hopefully it'll work. We are ourselves a mixture of good and evil. Sometimes we are faithful and sometimes we are not. One moment, we can be God's loyal disciples, and the next, we can be champions of all that opposes the kingdom. Even Peter was capable of moving from being a solid rock to the treacherous Satan within a few breaths. So this time that has been given to us before the harvest, allows us to grow and learn that in ways that will make us stronger in the faith and in relationship with God. This harvest also reminds us that there is only one Lord, and this God is not only the judge of all, but Savior of all. And how comforting is that, that our God is a God compassionate and loving and with us every single day. So as I bring this to a close, I want to draw our attention back to the first lesson, the last two sentences of the first lesson from Psalms. And let those words guide us as we strive to be part of a garden or field that is beautifully loved and looked after by God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked within me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Please pray with me. Lord, what a crazy, wild, and sometimes really messy world we live in. What you originally intended for us in the perfect field may not come to fruition, but out of the weeds from that same field, we find ourselves striving to be closer to you. Gracious God, there are so many people who are either struggling or in pain because of the weeds there in their lives right now. We ask that you may show them some peace and comfort. God, we especially lift up to you the Borchardt family as they mourn the loss of Mary Ann right now. She has been such a wonderful blessing and person in our life, and she will greatly be missed. God, we also ask that you lift up all the other people in our congregation who are sick or in need of your love and care right now. Lord, all of these things we offer out loud and in our hearts, and let us pray.